outside. And all them crazy murderers would never run from inside. You try to keep me down cause you see no joy. All them knows them from, so you call a man a boy. I ain't a toy, can't just see, open up your eyes.
The thing that makes Judaism dangerous to everybody, to every race, to every nation, to every idea, is that we smash things that aren't true. We don't believe in the boundaries of nation state. We don't believe in the ideas of these individual gods that protect individual groups of people. These are all artificial constructions, and Judaism really teaches us how to see that. In a sense, our detractors have us right in that we are a corrosive force. We're breaking down the false gods of all nations and all people because they're not real.
And here we go, folks. It is Sunday, April the 17th, 2022. And you are listening to today's Resurrection Day edition of The Ugly Truth. Welcome to the program, folks. And yes, as I said, Resurrection Day, not Easter. Just as it's Crucifixion Day and not Good Friday. I'm very specific in the language that I use because language, how it is put together, how it is utilized, is very important. In fact, it's of critical importance. Something which we have covered on this program ever since it was resurrected just about a month or so ago, which is, as I have said now on a few occasions, it is the right conversation versus the wrong conversation. And depending on how words are put together, how they're used to create ideas and perceptions in people's minds, this can have very dramatic and even traumatic outcomes based upon how that language is put together. For example, about 20 years ago, the United States and a handful of other Western Christian countries decided to go on this murderous rampage, what really was just a giant black mass dedicated to human sacrifice in the Middle East. Now, they didn't call it that. They didn't call it the Christian West satanic bloodbath, black mass and human sacrifice event. They called it the War on Terror. And as all of you who listen to this program know, it went over just absolutely wonderfully. Millions of innocent people were killed. Even more millions of innocent people had their lives destroyed. Jesus Christ and his message of peace and of justice and compassion for other people, especially the poor and the innocent, received a permanent black stripe, black mark against the legacy of Jesus' teachings, meaning the Christian West, went over perfectly. And all of this due to how words and ideas were put together. And so that's why we choose on this day to remind people that Easter is not what the day really is. It's not about little bunnies and chocolate eggs and things like that. It's about the coming back to life, the rising from the dead, of a political philosopher, a political activist named Jesus Christ. And yes, folks, he was a political philosopher and a political activist, a fact that I think, unfortunately, has escaped the notice or the consideration of far too many people. Rest assured, folks, you can absolutely bet your last dollar that his enemies, both then and now, recognize that Jesus was a political activist and a political philosopher, and that his message to mankind was as much rooted in creating heaven on earth After all, the one prayer that he instructed his followers to pray, the Lord's Prayer, does contain within it, on earth as it is in heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Meaning that as much as possible, our existence here on this earth, as imperfect as it is, as fraught with problems as it is, suffering and all of the rest of that, that we were supposed to, as his followers, we were supposed to, as best as we could, within the boundaries of what was possible, turn this world into much a mirrored image of the hereafter as possible. And his enemies at the time, folks, and his enemies today, recognize full well that what Jesus was teaching then was a direct threat to the plans that they had for all of us, plans which, tragically, we are all witnessing unfold right now as we speak. So, folks, I received a few emails after the last program, and they all had a common denominator to all of them, which was, boy, that was really sobering. That was really somber. I've never heard you so down and worried. Well, folks, the fact of the matter is, as I indicated on the program, it was rather early. I think it was only about 5 in the morning. And I do have this tendency which has driven my poor, beloved, saintly wife crazy for the last 30-plus years of being very, very quiet in the morning. It's something that I inherited from my mom's side of the family, which this thing known as respect for the hour. You know, at night, you know, as soon as around 8:30, 9 o'clock rolls around, you're supposed to keep your voices down. I'm sure it's an old world thing, given the fact that my mom's family came from the old world. And then in the morning, you're supposed to kind of be quiet as well. And so when I did the program, part of it was that it was still very early for me, and I was speaking in, I think it's called sotto voce, yeah, meaning in a low voice. So, but nevertheless, folks, it was a serious, a very sober, and a very somber topic, okay, because this is what we're facing right now. And this is what we're going to be discussing today, but I'm going to provide, you can hear my voice, I'm a little bit more animated and a little bit more sopra voce, I think is what it's called, in a higher voice. But we're still going to be tackling the same topic, especially today, given the fact that it is Resurrection Day. It is the day that we remember with great joy the victory of Jesus Christ over his enemies, the followers of Judaism, the children of Israel, whatever it is that they want to be called, what we want to call them. And he's still alive today, folks. Even in this sick world that we're living in right now, where people who claim to be his followers are right now participating in what is the planned destruction of their lives, of their world, with what we see taking place right now with regards to what I believe to be this approaching conflict. Nevertheless, there are a few pockets left where the true believers in Jesus Christ and in his message, his revolution, they are to be found. They're very few in number, folks, and this is a concept that I've been discussing on the last couple of programs, which is that you know, there really aren't that many people left with eyes to see or with ears to hear. Unfortunately, our enemies have done their work very well, and they have turned most of the world into this slumbering, slobbering, muttering, blind creature that isn't any more interested in saving its own skin as it is saving anybody else's, to be quite frankly. And I'll just give you an example of what I'm talking about, two examples that indicate why I don't hold out a lot of hope for us avoiding what is this unfolding apocalypse as it is taking place right now. And it is unfolding, folks. All you have to do is watch the news and see what's going on. And you can see that it is unfolding. I don't know if it was a week, probably 2 weeks ago. At the height of all of this business involving Russia and Ukraine and all of the rest of that, okay, at the height of all this business, where supposedly we were on the brink any moment of nuclear war, of a chemical attack, a biological attack, at the height of you know, what is our crumbling economic infrastructure here in America, inflation going through the roof, gas prices through the roof, food prices going through the roof. All of a sudden, in the midst of all of this, okay, when the ship is sinking, when the house is going up in flames, we have the Oscars, the yearly celebration where the followers of Judaism, the children of Israel, they get together and they congratulate each other over the fact that they spent another year successfully plunging principally the Western world, but for all intents and purposes, the entire world, where the United States and where the corrosive culture of Hollywood extends its reach, another year of poisoning the collective mind of humanity. And in the midst of this celebration, a black man named Will Smith walked up on stage and he slapped another black man, Chris Rock, for something that Chris Rock said that Will Smith didn't like about Mrs. Smith. Okay? And everybody, folks, left, right, in between, they all stopped talking about possible nuclear war. They stopped talking about possible chemical and biological weapons. They stopped talking about the fact that they are finding it increasingly difficult to put food on the table, to put gasoline in their gas tanks. All of this, while the ship is sinking and the house is going up in flames, that discussion stops dead in its tracks, and now everybody is talking about this item of absolutely no consequence whatsoever, okay, in the bigger scheme of things, and even in the smaller scheme of things. Even if all of this stuff weren't happening, even if our existence hadn't been reduced to a huge question mark right now, this event was of absolutely no consequence. No intelligent person who has his or her thoughts geared towards things of real importance would have paid 3 seconds attention to this. Okay. And this was, again, folks, as an indicator of just how screwed up things are right now. This was some, I mean, you can count on the left-wing media in the West focusing on something like this, because their job is to deliberately stupefy the mind of the Gentiles, okay, to keep them focused on silly matters of little to no importance, you know, which starlet painted the nail on her big toe, her big toe on her right foot a certain color that was different than the others, okay. But the right-wing political shows, okay, you would think that they would say, no, this is just more of the same. left-wing media putting garbage out there to distract us and all the rest of that stuff. No, they jumped right on board with it. Whether it was Sean Hannity, whether it was Glenn Beck, Dan Bongino, to his credit, he said, "No, I'm not gonna waste any time talking about this stupid thing. Not when our world is going up in flames." Okay. So, you know, this should give us a pause for reflection, pause for concern, folks. That just that quickly, as the public's attention can be turned off of the subject of their own nuclear incineration, okay, and short of that, the fact that their lives are just going up in flames, they are having a hard time putting food on the table, and all of the other things that are part of our human condition. That it can, one can be turned off, and the other thing can be turned on like that. Snap of a finger. Okay? This is a bad sign, folks. It's like when you go to the doctor, and one of the first things that he or she does, is that they are going to test your reflexes, and they will whack you on the knee with a percussion hammer, that rubber thing, and if your knee kicks out, then your reflexes are good. Or they'll press on the back of your tongue with a tongue suppressor, and if it triggers the gag reflex, and that means that the reflexes are good. Or they shine a light in your eye to see how the pupil reacts. And testing the reflexes of people is a very important thing that the doctors do. Because a reflexive, your reflexes, your reflexive system, if it's not functioning correctly, and I'm remembering this from 45 years ago, 50 years ago almost, when my own grandfather, who was a doctor, was explaining this to me, they test the reflexes not to make sure that your knee is okay or that your tongue is okay or that your eye is okay, but because if your reflexes are dulled, if they're not functioning properly, it's an indicator that there are more serious problems inside the body. Okay. This thing that just happened with Will Smith and Chris Rock and the inordinate amount of attention that was placed on it. I mean, folks, let's just put this into dollars and cents. How many millions of dollars? Tens of millions, maybe? Maybe even hundreds of millions of dollars was spent by the media covering this event and talking about it for days and days and days. When given the situation that we're facing right now, there were more important things to discuss. So it's things like this that are the reason, this and other things, are the reasons why I don't hold out a lot of hope that we're going to get through this thing unscathed. Okay, now whether it's on a scale of 1 to 100, whether it's really, really bad, okay, billions of people dying, or whether it's just bad, a billion people dying, or hundreds of millions, okay, somewhere in between those two things. Even the low end of things is extreme. And again, and I can't stress this enough, and it's a point that I try to make on the website in virtually all the EdNote commentary that accompanies the articles that I choose to post. It is only made possible by the stupid, the willful stupidity, suicidal stupidity of the Gentiles. Okay? I realize that this is a rather big, a rather bold statement for me, one person, to make, folks. But it would appear as though the message of Jesus has been completely misunderstood. Certainly there are parts of it that have been understood. But when we look at things today and we look at who the culprits are, I don't think that it's just by mere coincidence that the very same people who were thrown into this diabolical fury, this Judaic fever 2,000 years ago on Crucifixion Friday, that it's their great, great, great grandchildren today who are at the nucleus, who are functioning as the nuclear reactor of all of this radioactive meltdown of the world today. And this was the thing that Jesus was trying to prevent. This was why he was willing to go and to suffer this horrific and humiliating death and seeming defeat by being nailed to a cross, he understood that images, how powerful they are. If you look at Jesus's miracles, you know, when he was healing the blind man, he spat on the ground and he mixed it with dirt and he formed a paste and he rubbed the paste into the man's eyes. He didn't need to do that, okay? But he knew everybody was watching and he wanted them to associate his physical action of making that paste and rubbing it into the man's eyes with the man being healed. When he healed the deaf man, he put his two fingers into his mouth and then he stuck his fingers into the man's ears and he said, I believe it was Ephata, be opened or something like that. And he did it so that everybody could see, because the eyes are the front door to the human brain. Ephata, I think that's what it was. Sorry. And with many of his other miracles as well, okay, when he fed the 4,000 and he fed the 5,000 with a few loaves of bread and fishes, you know, and he had all of this, you know, this little bit of food brought to him, you know, where everybody could see it, and then multiplied these things. So likewise, him choosing to go down this path of going through this horrible and humiliating end-of-life event was meant to convey an image to us. That's why there's nothing good about Good Friday. Okay, it was a horrible day. And I think that the message has been missed. The message of Crucifixion Friday was, I have very specific enemies who are out to destroy me for a very specific set of reasons. And here are all of the mechanisms that they will use, that they're going to use now, and that they will use throughout the ages in trying to destroy my revolution and to destroy the rescuing of civilization from the clutches of these people. As I said in previous years, folks, you know, the notion that Jesus died for our sins. Okay, well, that may be true, fine, but there's an entirely other, very, very important component to all of this, because if Jesus' only mission, if there were no politics involved in it, if it didn't have any bigger consequences, such as the apocalypse and the consummation of the world, if they weren't attached to this, then Jesus would have just died. He would have gotten stung by a scorpion or bit by a snake, or he would have, since he was a carpenter, maybe he would scratch himself on a rusty nail and get lockjaw or something like that. But the fact that there was so much politics involved, geopolitics, folks, because yes, it was taking place in this little outhouse known as Judea. You had world powers that were involved in it, the Romans. Okay? And you had world powers such as the Persians involved in it, because they were the first people to come and pay Jesus Christ a formal diplomatic visit, honoring him. One of the reasons why, folks, that the followers of Judaism, the children of Israel, have got it in so bad for the Iranians. Okay, it's not just, they're not afraid of an Iranian nuclear weapon. Okay, it's the fact that the Iranians were the first people to recognize the greatness of Jesus Christ. Notice there were no diplomatic visits from the Jewish priesthood or from the Jews themselves. Okay, I mean, certainly since they've been waiting for their Moshiach, their Messiah, to come, who is going to, you know, make all of these prophecies found within Judaism of making Jerusalem the center of the world and the Jewish people the most powerful people in the world, you would have thought that they would have been first in line to come and to pay a visit to Jesus in the same way that the Persians did. So, anyway, I know this has been a very long, winding departure from Will Smith and Chris Rock, but this is an indicator, folks. This is one of these things, like I said, when you go to the doctor and he or she is performing an initial examination, there are certain things that they do that indicate the health of the body. And the health of the body just ain't good, folks. This is why I say, you know, that our biggest, the biggest danger we face is not that we have these crafty, cunning enemies who are dedicated to our destruction, but rather that we do not have. And it's not that we don't have the intelligence, folks. It's that we're too mentally and morally weak now. It's easier and it's more personally satisfying to put away the news about an impending nuclear war and instead to waste your time listening to various pieces of commentary dealing with Will Smith and Chris Rock. Now, folks, it's not just, unfortunately, and I would be, it would be completely out of character for me if I didn't bring this thing closer to home. We had this subway shooting that took place earlier this week. And yes, there are some anomalies involved in this, folks. I mean, once again, the perpetrator supposedly leaves his credit card and other pieces of identification at the scene. And if we're to believe some of the other news stories that have come out about it, he actually called the police and taunted them and told them that he did it. Well, once again, folks, you know, the same ugly thing that we first encountered about a dozen years ago is alive and well, and it's this hoaxerism business. And to my great surprise, to my great shock, I received an email from a good friend of mine who's a very smart individual who never bought into any of the Sandy Hook hoax nonsense and recognized it for the danger that it was, that this was a psychological operation aimed at discrediting any and all forms of alternative media as a preparatory step to what we're dealing with now, okay? Whereas, you know, if somebody such as yours truly or somebody else within the alternative media, when we're trying to have a conversation with people and to say, don't fall for all of this anti-Russian, anti-Putin business, okay, this is a trap. This is just like 9/11, okay, where they were painting Islam as this violent, dangerous religion that wants to take over the world and cut everybody's heads off and all the rest of that stuff, okay? They knew a long time ago, folks, they knew a long time ago that when it came to the big one, the big enchilada that we're dealing with right now, which is a possible nuclear war with Russia, they had to make sure that we had zero credibility. The alternative media, okay, the alternative information system, whatever we want to call it, that we had zero credibility. And Sandy Hook was part of that operation, okay, to the point now where we have the biggest voice in that alternative media who has already been sued and lost to the tunes of millions and is still being sued. He will be sued for the rest of his life. And every time a judge hands down or a jury hands down an award to the plaintiffs against Alex Jones, okay, which forces him to cough up another million or so, okay, it'll be another black mark against the rest of us. Oh, you're saying that Putin is invading Ukraine because what? Because he wants to prevent nuclear war. He wants to prevent, chemical and biological weapons being used. Oh, you're probably one of those people who believes that no shootings took place at Sandy Hook Elementary. Okay. Yeah, folks, it does work that way. I've been on the receiving end of it more times than I can count on my 10 toes and 10 fingers. Okay. Same receiving end. Now, earlier this week, I received an email from this friend of mine who's already given me permission ahead of time to go ahead and to make an example out of him to everyone on the program. And I don't do so with any delight, folks. I'm only doing this to reinforce a point that I have made many, many times over the course of many years. He sent me a thing and he said, this guy, he's talking about this website, this guy makes a pretty good case that the shooting in the subway earlier this week was a hoax. So I said, all right, let's see who it is and where they're going with it. Never heard of this person before. He's a newbie. He's a Johnny come lately, apparently. He does the same thing that we all witnessed during the whole Sandy Hook hoax nonsense, that the whole, whatever you want to call it, fiasco. And he's taking this video footage of the subway, and he's freeze frame by freeze frame, or frame freeze, whatever we want to call it. And he's saying, see this person here? That person's an actor. See that person there? That person's an actor. And then he said, and you see the number here? The number here on the subway line? That's a satanic number. So I watched a good 5 seconds of this. I wasn't going to waste any more of my precious time. That's 5 seconds that I'll never get back. I could have been thinking about something else, and I'm sorry that I have to, what appears to be me wasting your time, but I'm not, folks. There's actually a very important point to all of this, okay? And I emailed my friend back, and I said, this, we've already been through this before, okay? This guy is just repeating the model, okay, the template, the prototype, whatever you want to call it, that began with individuals like the very well-fed James Fetzer and John Friend and all of the rest of these creatures who destroyed it for the rest of us. Okay, this is the reason why we can't make any headway with trying to prevent this impending apocalypse that is unfolding in front of our eyes right now, because we already had our credibility destroyed 10 years ago with this. And I didn't lecture my friend. I just said, don't fall for this. And then it wasn't too long after that that I heard back from him. And he said, you're right. I'm sorry. I'm so embarrassed, blah, blah, blah. And folks, this is one of the brighter people that I know. One of the brighter people that I know within the alternative media movement, whatever we want to call it, okay? He never fell for the Sandy Hook hoax nonsense. But this kind of stuff is so prevalent now. It's out there so much that it's almost impossible to avoid it, okay? Unless you just unplug yourself from that stream of consciousness. And this is what I'm telling all of you folks. As a member of the alternative media, I'm telling you, I'm counseling you, stay away from the alternative media. Okay? I know that sounds rather odd for me to be doing that. Okay? But I'll tell you up front, I don't have all the answers. I don't have a lot of answers, but I believe the answers that I do have are pretty close to being right. Okay. Having said that, my colleagues, okay, over at Veterans Today or Jim Fetzer, if he's still alive, if Jeff Rentz, all of these other people, to some degree, they are peddling some type of snake oil. Okay. They may get it right with one or two things accidentally. Okay. But they get it wrong on so many other things. And if you truly envision yourself as being distinct and different and divorced, okay, from the rest of this world that is riding on board the modern-day equivalent of the Titanic, and you have jumped into a lifeboat to get away from that ship before it sinks, make sure that the lifeboat that you're in holds water as well, okay, that it's going to stay afloat, and that it hasn't been sabotaged by these same people, okay? And I say this, folks, only because, see, I don't know what people are saying out there, okay? I don't pay attention anymore to anything that anybody says because they have just proven on too many occasions now, conclusively, that they can't, they are not a source of reliable information or commentary or analysis, okay? It's a joke. It's an embarrassment. It's a liability. So, but nevertheless, you're better off figuring out things for yourself. You're smarter than you give yourself credit for, folks. You know, I hear this again. I have friends who tell me, we can't figure things out like you do. You know, you, and then I have one friend in particular, she says, you know, you have a third eye. No, I don't, folks. I don't, okay? This stuff is as easy as walking on 2 feet, okay? No offense intended to those of you out there who may be, you know, having difficulty while walking or whatever, okay? You need to rely on yourself more than you give yourself credit for in terms of your ability to figure this stuff out. Don't let individuals such as whoever this crazy person was who was saying that the shooting never happened, that it was a hoax, that these were crisis actors, that they fake blood and all the rest of the, all the old stage props, okay? Don't let Jeff Rentz or Gordon Duff or any of these other, Jim Fetzer or anybody, I don't even know if these people are still alive, to be honest, folks, I don't. Don't let them into your home, okay? They're going to get into your home, and they're going to make a mess of everything. They're going to track their filth in on their shoes. They're going to stink the place up with their bad analysis. They're going to rearrange the place. and they're going to leave it a mess, and afterwards you're going to say, why did I bother to let that SOB in? And I say this, folks, especially on this Resurrection Sunday, because we do find ourselves now very much in the crosshairs, okay? This situation, especially in Ukraine, is getting worse by the minute, even if at times it appears to be cooling down or calming down, it isn't. Okay, the only reason that the special military operations that have been taking place now for 2 months are still going on is because the Americans are there. They are there, dressed as Ukrainian soldiers. They are bringing in heavy weaponry. They have every intention of utilizing this as the flashpoint for World War III, in the same way that the powers that be utilized Sarajevo as the flashpoint for World War I. Okay. And with things like this, when you have not just incompetent leadership, but evil leadership, okay, things will get out of control very quickly, okay? Now, I realize that this isn't, this seems to not be the kind of discussion, maybe this was the discussion to be had on Crucifixion Friday, when everything seemed bleak and hopeless and everything else, but not on Resurrection Sunday. Well, folks, there is good news, okay? The good news is that the deeper that evil people sink into their darkness, the less capable they are of rational thought. And things of this type, they do require a certain degree of rational, practical thought in order to bring these things about. Now, it is true, these people are plugged into an energy source, a dark energy source, whether we want to call it Satan or Lucifer or the dark side or whatever, and that this dark force does indeed guide their actions. Nevertheless, just as Resurrection Sunday taught us 2,000 years ago, evil people plot, but God is the wisest of plotters. That's actually a line from the Quran, ladies and gentlemen, and speaking specifically, if memory serves me correctly, about the children of Israel and their plans for destroying Jesus Christ and destroying his revolution. I think, if I'm remembering it correctly, the Quran reads, the Jews plotted, but God is the wisest of plotters. And I have no doubt, folks, despite the very unsettling, very frightening things that are taking place in our world right now, that at the end of this thing, it's all going to be settled in the right way, okay? And these evil people and their evil plans are going to be defeated and destroyed. Now, the reason why... So the question obviously raised is, well, if that's what's going to happen, then why bother at all? Well, I'll tell you a little story here, folks. Just about 6 years ago, those of you who remember, Mike Piper, may he rest in eternal peace, and may he be granted 1,000 kingdoms, as John Azazel always likes to say, may he be granted 1,000 kingdoms in paradise. He was living here with us after he had been kicked out of American Free Press, his place of employment for 35 years, I believe, and over the Sandy Hook hoax business, folks. That's another thing people have failed to plug into this, is that Mike losing his job and being forced to relocate to the other side of the country, that this was because of that Sandy Hook business, okay, because he would not go along with it. A wealthy contributor to AFP. I just wonder who this wealthy contributor was. He told them that he would no longer contribute to them, and his contributions were considerable, folks, that he would no longer contribute to AFP as long as Mike Piper remained employed there, which obviously forced Mike. He had no means of income, and that this is why we took him in. Well, anyway, after about 6 months, we suffered a fire here at the little cabin where Mike was staying. And started in the roof, and I was running back and forth. We called the fire department. They said, our engines are all out right now. It's going to be a while. Okay. So I'm running back and forth from the main house to the cabin with big buckets of water. And I'm climbing onto this roof that is glowing red. It's a metal roof, glowing red under my feet because the flames are right under it. And throwing water on the roof, trying to throw it under where the metal meets, hoping that some of the water will get down in there and will just slow the fire down. I had to do this for a half an hour, running back and forth. Wife is crying, children are crying. Me doing that slowed the fire down enough to the point that when the fire department finally did show up half an hour later, they were able to save much of the structure. Okay. If I had sat around and waited for them to get there, the house would have been gone. So, bringing this thing full circle is our good friend Mike Piper. May he rest in peace and be granted 1,000 kingdoms. No, no, no. 10,000 kingdoms. 10,000 kingdoms in paradise. Bringing this thing full circle, as our good friend Mike Piper used to say, we can hasten along this collapse of this evil system with the things that we do, the things that we say, as long as we do them right and as long as we say them right. Okay. What's needed now is cool, clean, clear, fresh water. The waters of truth to put out the flames that are threatening to consume everything. Okay, now what I mean by that, you don't want to throw anything flammable on these flames that our enemies have lit under our feet. And what I mean by things that are flammable are these lies, are pieces of misinformation and disinformation, okay? Such as no shooting took place at the subway in New York. Such as no shooting took place at Sandy Hook. Such as Islam is a violent religion. Such as Jesus was a Jew and he was a follower of Judaism, and Judaism is a beneficent and holy religion. Okay, lies are what are killing the world. These are the flammable materials that our enemies utilize in setting our world on fire. And that is why I am counseling all of you out there, don't participate. Don't tie a noose around your own neck. Don't slit your own throat, okay? By peddling things that are only going to aid in what it is that our enemies intend to do to us. Now, that's the good news, folks, is that, as I said, we can play a part in resurrecting our world and taking it back, but only if we do it right. Only if we make sure that we don't, we don't be part of the machinery of evil which our enemies have built to destroy us, okay? And on that note, folks, you know, there is reason to be hopeful because there are still a few wells out there where you will find that cool, clean, fresh water of truth. Not many. There aren't many. Most of the wells out there, to some degree, are tainted, and if you drink from them, you're going to get sick in some fashion. But there are a few wells left where you will find that, for the most part, the water is still clean and clear and safe to drink. And it may be a little bold on my part to say this, folks, but this is one of those wells. Now, as I said, I'm not going to guarantee that the water is 100% pure, but I would say it's up there in the 90th percentile. Okay. Certainly better than what you're going to find in most other places. So be careful the water that you drink. Make sure that it does not contain the slightest bit of that corrosive force. Okay, that corrosive force that we heard about at the beginning of this program in the introduction. Okay, that corrosive force that seeks to destroy everything. Everything under the sun. Okay. So, folks, that's it for today on this Resurrection Sunday. I apologize if it's a bit disjointed. I always prepare for these programs and I say, okay, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say this. And I usually wind up touching on one or two of the dozen or so topics that I planned to talk about. But then as soon as I get going, you know, folks, I'm not a young man anymore, and my mind wanders, and, you know, I'm just not as well-organized as I was in times past. And I apologize for that, and I appreciate that those of you who do listen to the program, that you have afforded me a certain degree of forbearance in that regard. Like I said, folks, I do this as a public service. You'll notice there are no donate buttons or anything like that on the website. I don't ask for anything. I just do this as a public service. I feel that this is what has to be done, and so I'm going to do the best that I can, given the limited resources that I have. And even if it only affects a few people who stay away from that tainted water, if they're able to keep their clarity of mind and their clearness of thought, okay, because that's what's going to be the deciding factor in all of this, folks, when all of this makes its way to our front door, okay, is how are we going to deal with the terrible, you know, our own night in the garden of Gethsemane that Jesus suffered, okay, where he knew his hour had arrived, okay, and he was so overwhelmed with the horrible awareness of what was about to happen that he sweat blood, okay. So, in some degree, those of us who are his followers, his true followers, not these crazy people who, you know, who are signing on to World War III because they believe that, they believe, I mean, it just goes to show you folks why I say many times, nobody ever accused them, quote unquote, meaning the followers of Judaism, of being stupid. They really know how to bait a hook and to catch a fish. So, you know, you have hundreds of millions of Christians around the world who are saying, let's bring on World War III because we're going to be gone. We're going to get vacuumed up into heaven with this thing known as the rapture, so we don't have to worry about it. Well, gee, I sure would like to be a bug in the room when they find themselves with their feet planted firmly on the ground when all of this happens, and they're waiting to get vacuumed up in the rapture, and it just doesn't happen. Anyway, this is why these are the preparations that we have to make, folks, is that we have to prepare ourselves mentally and spiritually for these ordeals that are, if they're not right at the door, they are walking up the front steps. And if this program does no more than reaches a dozen people or so, especially those with families, okay, who have children at home and things like that, then fine. Then, you know, it has done the good that was intended, if only a few people can benefit from this. So, folks, on this Resurrection Sunday, I wish you all the best. I pray that our Creator gives you the strength and the protection that you need. And remember, folks, at the end of the day, at the end of the day, yes, the children of Israel, the followers of Judaism, they plot, but God is the wisest of plotters.